Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Inside the Box, How Constraints Make Us Better by David Epstein is a nonfiction book about performance, creativity, decision-making, and the productive role of limits. Epstein, known for Range and the Sports Gene, extends his interest in human performance by challenging the assumption that more freedom, time, money, and choice automatically produce better results. The book argues that carefully chosen boundaries can sharpen attention, reduce drift, encourage collaboration, and make creative work more practical, drawing on cognitive psychology, organizational behavior, and reported case studies from business, science, technology, logistics, and the arts. Epstein examines why people and institutions often do their best work when they are not operating with unlimited options. Its purpose is both explanatory and practical to show how constraints function as design tools rather than mere obstacles, and to help readers understand when narrowing options can improve innovation, productivity, and satisfaction. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, constraints as design tools rather than signs of scarcity. A central argument of Inside the Box is that constraints should not be understood only as shortages, barriers, or unfortunate compromises. Epstein presents them as design conditions that shape effort and attention. A blank canvas may appear liberating, but it often leaves people without criteria for choosing among possibilities. A clear limit, such as a deadline, budget, format, resource boundary, or rule, gives the mind something to work against. That friction can make judgment more concrete because it forces trade-offs. The relevant question is not whether freedom is good or bad, but whether a particular kind of freedom helps the task at hand. In many creative and organizational settings, total openness makes it harder to define what counts as progress. A constraint supplies structure without necessarily eliminating autonomy. It narrows the search space, clarifies what must be preserved, and reveals which solutions are elegant rather than merely expansive. This reframing is important because it treats limits as active ingredients in better work, not as conditions to tolerate until more resources arrive. Secondly, the paradox of choice and the cost of excessive optionality. The book positions modern abundance as a serious cognitive problem. Individuals and organizations often prize optionality because it seems to preserve future opportunity. Epstein argues that too many options can have the opposite effect. When every path remains open, attention scatters, decisions are delayed, and effort becomes diluted. This is especially relevant in work cultures that encourage constant expansion, more features, broader missions, larger teams, and more data. Choice itself becomes labor, and the time spent comparing alternatives can replace the harder work of committing to a direction. Constraints help by acting as filters. They make some options irrelevant, which reduces decision fatigue and raises the quality of attention applied to the remaining possibilities. The value is not simply speed. Narrowing options can also improve originality because it prevents default reliance on obvious but unfocused approaches. By showing that abundance can produce paralysis, the book complicates a familiar belief in productivity literature that better outcomes come mainly from adding resources. Sometimes they come from subtracting options. Thirdly, how boundaries push thinking beyond familiar defaults. Epstein links constraints to the way people solve problems under mental pressure. Without limits, the brain often gravitates toward familiar patterns because familiar patterns are efficient and low effort. A well-placed boundary disrupts that default. If a team must solve a problem with fewer resources, within a shorter time frame, or under stricter rules, it cannot simply repeat the most obvious solution. The constraint changes the problem space and forces more active search. This does not mean every obstacle produces insight. The book distinguishes useful constraints from arbitrary deprivation. Productive boundaries are specific enough to focus effort, but not so restrictive that they make progress impossible. They create a problem that can still be solved, but not by routine methods. This mechanism helps explain why structured artistic forms, technical limits, and operational restrictions have often produced memorable work. The point is not that hardship is inherently good. It is that boundaries can redirect intelligence toward adaptation, recombination, and sharper problem definition. Fourthly, organizational advantages of doing more with less. Inside the Box applies the logic of constraints beyond individual creativity to teams, companies, and institutions. Organizations frequently assume that innovation requires more staff, more capital, more time, or fewer restrictions. Epstein argues that excess can weaken coordination because it allows competing priorities to multiply. When resources seem unlimited, teams may avoid difficult choices, add complexity, or pursue loosely related goals. A meaningful constraint can create alignment. It tells a group what problem matters most, what must be optimized, and what trade-offs are acceptable. This is especially useful in product development, strategy, logistics, and project management, where the quality of execution depends on shared priorities. Constraints can also improve collaboration because they provide a common reference point. Instead of debating every possible direction, participants can evaluate ideas against the same boundary conditions. The book, therefore, treats constraints as managerial instruments, not just personal productivity techniques. Their value lies in making collective work more legible, disciplined, and inventive when teams might otherwise be overwhelmed by abundance. Lastly, the importance of choosing the right kind of limit, a key implication of the book, is that constraints must be designed carefully. Epstein does not argue for limits in a simplistic or punitive sense. Poorly chosen constraints can suppress judgment, create unnecessary stress, or force people into inferior solutions. The book emphasizes the difference between constraints that focus and constraints that merely restrict. A useful boundary should connect to the desired outcome. For example, a time limit can encourage completion, but if it is too severe, it may damage quality. A budget can stimulate ingenuity, but if it is unrealistic, it may only transfer risk to the people doing the work. Self-imposed constraints can be especially powerful because they allow individuals and teams to shape their own attention. But external constraints can also be beneficial when they clarify stakes and responsibilities. The practical lesson is one of calibration. The best constraints are neither vague aspirations nor rigid prohibitions. They are guardrails that simplify choice, preserve meaningful autonomy, and make excellence more reachable. In conclusion, Inside the Box is best suited for readers interested in creativity, innovation, productivity, leadership, and applied behavioral science. It will be especially useful for knowledge workers, managers, entrepreneurs, designers, educators, and artists who regularly face open-ended problems and need a way to convert ambiguity into action. Its practical benefit lies in showing how to use limits deliberately: fewer priorities, clearer rules, tighter briefs, shorter deadlines, or more explicit resource boundaries can improve focus when chosen with care. Its intellectual benefit is the challenge it poses to a dominant cultural assumption that freedom and abundance are always preferable. Compared with many books in the creativity and business category, this one stands out by treating constraint not as an inspirational metaphor, but as a concrete mechanism for improving judgment and output. It also fits Epstein's broader reputation for synthesizing research and narrative examples while questioning popular assumptions about performance. Rather than simply advising readers to be more disciplined or more innovative, the book asks them to examine the conditions under which better thinking occurs. That makes it a useful corrective to books that celebrate limitless possibility without explaining how people actually decide, create, and collaborate under real conditions. If you would like to support David Epstein, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.